Take your Bibles back out once again, if you would, and turn to the glorious passage before us, Revelation chapter 3. And again, we're starting a series of sermons on verses 7 through 13 about the Church of Philadelphia, entitled The Church Jesus Loves, The Loyal Church. And I'm going to unwrap that title a little bit more in just a moment, just so you'll understand the context that I'm bringing that from. But the main lesson that we're carrying with us through this series of sermons: the church Jesus loves keeps his word and does not deny his name in the midst of persecution, but patiently endures. The Lord is lovingly loyal to his bride. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to read a quote from you, to you, from a gentleman by the name of J.I. Packer, who unloads that, what that means, the loving loyalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. "What matters supremely, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hands. I am never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me, and there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. This is momentous knowledge. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that his love is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge about the worst of me, so that no discovery now can disillusion him about me in the way I am so often disillusioned about myself, and quench his determination to bless me," end quote. The Lord is lovingly loyal to his bride. Karl Barth, the famous theologian, was once asked, "What is the greatest thought you ever had?" And this was his answer: "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, where does it say that in the Bible? How about Psalm 103, verse 17? "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments." The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I forget to love him, but he never, ever forgets to love me. And I'm so thankful for that. The Lord is lovingly loyal to his bride, and we're all thankful for that. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, didn't Jesus love those churches that he criticized?" And absolutely, that's the reason why he criticized them, because he loved them. But you see, that's a different kind of love in a certain sense, in that as parents, I know I love my kids all the time, but sometimes I love them in a disciplinary way, as Jesus loved those churches that he criticized in a disciplinary way. And then there's times in my life where I just look at my kids and the joy of my life and my heart comes out. And I just love them with a deep joy. And that's what I see here for the Church of Philadelphia. It's just Jesus is lovingly loyal to his bride. His bride is lovingly loyal to him. And he just loves them with a joy that is overflowing. And sometimes that's the way Jesus loves us, with a joy that is overflowing, especially when we obey him and when we follow his word and when we don't recant his name in the midst of persecution and that kind of thing. So that's what I mean when I say the church that Jesus loves, okay? He loves all of his churches, whether they're off the family farm or on the family farm. They're just different kinds of way that he loves us, okay? Are you with me? Well, what we've learned so far as we've studied these churches is that Jesus oftentimes begins with commendations to show his love for his bride. And so this morning, we see commendations galore for the church of Philadelphia. And so that's where we're going to start, and that's where we're going to end today. We're going to look at some of the commendations that Jesus gave to his loyal church that he loves. So that's point number one. Point number one, the commendations Jesus gives the loyal church that he loves. Verses 7 through the first part of verse 11. So look with me there in your Bibles. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, verse 9, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come out and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I'm coming soon. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, when we want to hear you speak, I'm so thankful that all we have to do is open the Bible, and there you speak. You speak, and we can hear. And so today, Lord, we have heard your voice. Now help us to hear it heart deeply, not just with our ears, but with our hearts. And Father, we just want to thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of our worship that you will continue to reveal your loving loyalty to the church that is loyal to you. And Father, that we will learn the lessons here that we can be like the church of Philadelphia. Do the things that it did. And so, Father, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and give us a taste for the treasure of this your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to begin with just a little information about the city of Philadelphia. This city was established a long time ago, 189 BC, by King Eumenes of Pergamum. Now, his name, Eumenes, doesn't mean anything like brother love or brotherly love, but his brother, Adelaias II, had a nickname, and guess what it was? It was Philadelphus, which means brother lover. Adelaias was extremely devoted and faithful to his king brother, King Eumenes. And so out of respect for that, King Eumenes named this city after his brother, Philadelphus. That's pretty amazing, little tidbit of history there. The city itself was located at a junction of several roads and trading routes, so it was benefited very much by these trade routes that ran through it. It met with great catastrophe in volcano eruptions and was destroyed and rebuilt and destroyed and rebuilt a couple of different times. And so the city itself, of course, had its pagan rituals, its pagan god. They worshiped Dionysus. There, the pagans did. And of course, they had a Jewish population that was also a part of the city of Philadelphia, which was the population that tormented the church, the Christians there. It wasn't necessarily the government or the pagan religions that tormented the Christians, but it was God's chosen people, whom he said they really weren't his people. They were evidently circumcised in the flesh and not in the heart. And so the Jews gave the church then the problems in the city of Philadelphia. So that's all I'm going to speak of when it comes to the city. Just know that these Christians were under persecution, and they lived in the midst of a pagan civilization. And so not really much different than you and I. Are you with me? So the first commendation that Jesus gives to the church of Philadelphia is he commends them with his presence. He commends them with his presence. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "The words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens." Now, in our study of the seven churches of Asia Minor, Jesus has commended each church with his presence. The first five words used to describe his presence, the first five churches, those words that were used to describe his presence with them, were drawn from chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. Now, that's different here with the church of Philadelphia. The words that Jesus spoke to describe his presence with them in verse 7 aren't found in chapter 1 of Revelation, but instead they have very rich overtones of Old Testament theology. So pretty much he draws these titles from the Old Testament. That was the only Bible they had, so that's where he drew these words from. And so the scripture we read today already was from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And let me just remind you of that verse once again. "And one called to another and said," these are the angels, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." So the first thing that Jesus tells the church of Philadelphia about himself is this: he is the Holy One. As described in the Old Testament, the first part of verse 7 says, "The words of the Holy One." So in the Old Testament, God is declared as the thrice holy God, as we see in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And then in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says God came from Teman, and the Holy One, who is God, from Mount Paran, his splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. If there's a lesson that God wants us to learn about himself from cover to cover in the Bible, his revelation of who he is that he is holy, holy, holy. In Revelation chapter 4, I believe in verse 8, we're reminded of his being thrice holy. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. "And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come." If we want to biblically praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we will praise them with the declaration that they are holy, holy, holy. Of all the attributes of the Lord described for us in God's Word, in His Word, only one of those attributes is given a thrice-fold refrain. And what is it? Holy, holy, holy. Who is present with His church? The Holy One. Doesn't that just sort of give you chills? The Holy One is present with His church. There is no other being in all of creation that is described as holy, holy, holy. Only God alone. And He wants His church to know that He is present with them in full holiness. Hallelujah. One theologian said this, to say that God is holy is to say that he is utterly separate from sin. Therefore, his character is absolutely unblemished and flawless. God, when he is present with us, the Lord Jesus Christ, they are the only thing that is unblemished without sin in our midst. And that he would choose to condescend himself to be in our presence. The evil, wicked, sinful people that we are is utterly amazing to me. It's utterly amazing to me. He's holy. If you ask Christians to describe the Lord, they'll almost always use these kinds of words. Grace. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's loving. He's good. He's forgiving. And it's true. God is all those things. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful that he is all those things, but that's not all the Bible says about him. He is much, much more than that. Much more than that. As a matter of fact, he is holy, holy, holy. That's the only attribute that gives him that threefold refrain. God's holiness sets him apart. You know, we are made in his image, right? But you realize we're nothing like him. Nothing like him. He is holy, holy, holy. And the best I can do is try to be that way, because that's what I'm commanded to do, because he's holy. He is holy, holy, holy. That's what sets him apart. That's what makes him unique. That's what makes him different. He is uncommon. He is unique. How is he unique? Well, he's unmatched in holy power. He's unmatched in holy splendor. He's unmatched in holy beauty. He's unmatched in holy knowledge. And he's unmatched in holy purity. There is nothing like him that can compare to him here on earth. There is nothing like him that is wonderful in power, wonderful in truth, wonderful in beauty, wonderful in knowledge, and wonderful in purity. And that God is right here with us in our presence as we obey him and as we are loyal to him. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. You know, one person said, like father, like son, and that's so true. Jesus is every bit like his Father. He is holy, holy, holy. You know who declared the holiness of Christ before in his earthly ministry, before anyone else declared the holiness of Christ? You know who did? The demons. They did. This is what they said about him in Mark chapter 1, verse 24. What have you to do with us? These are the demons speaking. Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So you see, demons know Jesus. They know him. They know that he is the Holy One, pure and undefiled, unblemished, unstained, spotless. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Holy One. And he's with his bride, the church. Amen? Amen. He is the Holy One whose word leads his bride to be holy just as he is holy. Now, not only is he the Holy One, as he describes himself in the presence of his church, but he is also the true one. Jesus is the true one. He is the Holy One, but he is also the true one. And he says, these are the words of the true One. I wish I could stand before you and tell you I tell you the truth all the time. Now in the pulpit, I always try to tell you the truth. But sometimes I lie. So do you. Amen? You know who will never lie to you? The true one. The Holy One. The Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that only he can claim. No other creature on earth can claim utter truthfulness. And you men lie to your wives too. I know you do. Honey, does this look good on me? Or does it make me look fat? Oh, no. You look great, honey. Us husbands ask our wives questions. Oh, yeah, baby. You just look as good as the day I met you. You haven't aged a bit. And I take it as the truth. Jesus will tell us the truth even when it hurts. And I'm so glad that he's done that to these churches that he criticized. And he does that because he's the true one. The true one. And we can take his word for what it says. We can take his word for what he says. Whatever he speaks is truth. Whatever he tells us is truth. And if you want to know the truth, just pick up the Word of God and you'll see the truth written there. And you can count on that truth being the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you can stake your life on that truth as this little powerless church named Philadelphia did as they stood up to the pagan world and to the Jews that they, the Jewish animosity that they lived within. And the reason why is because they believe that God's word, Jesus' word, is trustworthy, that is reliable, that it is unchanging truth because it comes from the true one. There's many false religions out there that'll lie to you, but there's only one religion, there's only one faith that says nothing but the truth, and that is the faith of that the Bible teaches about the Lord Jesus Christ. He will always speak the truth to you. The martyrs beneath the altar of souls, they cry out with a loud voice. Listen to what they call the Lord. They say, O sovereign Lord, holy and true. Holy and true. We can trust the word of the Lord because he is the true one. He is the holy one. There's one more thing that he says about himself. And he says that he's the sovereign one. Sovereign one. That's the third thing he says. Jesus is the sovereign one. These are the words of he who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. These words are descriptive of Jesus, his unequaled power. Woo! I'm so thankful, aren't you? Because you see, he has the power to keep his word. He has the power to do whatever he says he's going to do. Because he is the sovereign one. He is the one that opens that no one can shut. He is the one that shuts that no one can open. Because he is the sovereign of all creation. And he is the most powerful being, of powerful deity of all creation as well. We commonly talk about Jesus in these terms with the word omnipotent. And he is the omnipotent one. Now, let me just ask you a quick question. If you were omnipotent, what would you do with all that power? I know what some of you would do. I ain't going to tell. I know what I would do. I'll tell on myself. I'd probably do something mean. Right? Why would I do something mean? Because that's my nature. I was born a sinner, and that's what comes natural to me. But you see, God, the Lord Jesus, is holy. And because he is holy, he can only do truthful things, and he will only do what is holy with that omnipotent power that he has. You see, he doesn't do mean things like I would do if I were omnipotent. He only does things that are holy because that's his nature. That's who he is. From the inside out, he is holy. And so with all that power, you know what he does? He says, look, I'm with you, church. I am present with you. Aren't you glad? I'm sure glad we don't serve a weak God. I'm glad I don't serve Mohammed or Allah. Because they're not true. They're not real. They're fake. Or Buddha or a cow or whatever. No, we serve, church family, the one who is holy, the one who is true, and the one who is sovereign and all-powerful. And let me let you in on this. He loves you. Let that sink in. The Holy One, the true one, the sovereign one, Jesus Christ, loves you. Hallelujah. I've been loved a lot, but no one has ever loved me close as the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy One, the true one, the sovereign one, has ever loved me. And He loved me before the creation of the world, knowing all the sin and the disgusting things that I would do. He chose to love me. Hallelujah. And you guys are looking at a mirror when you see me, because you are seeing your reflection in me. Before the foundation of the world, God loved you in spite of all the evil things you would do, of all the lies you would tell, of all the disgusting things that you would think. He loved you with an everlasting love, and He still loves you in spite of that. The Holy One, the true one, the sovereign one loves His bride. Why? Because He chooses to do so. Because I am not lovely. I am not something that He should ever set His affection on. No, I was born sinful under the curse, and I deserve death. And that's all I deserve, just like you. And yet Christ has come, and He has taken away the penalty of our sin, the Holy One, the true one, the sovereign one, and has covered us with His righteousness. And He loves us with an everlasting love. There's one. There's another one. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Amen. What was that? What was that? I'm beginning to believe you. I'm beginning to believe you. That's where I'm stopping. Church, I don't think I've ever preached a more powerful message than the one I just preached to you. That the Holy God, the true God, the sovereign God, loves us. They don't put an extra step and you get along, I'm not sure what will. But He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful, so happy, so joyful today, knowing that I am forever in Your family. And that nothing on earth or in heaven can ever rip me from Your grip. Thank You, Lord, for being so marvelously, wonderfully merciful and gracious and good to us here at Liberty Baptist Church. And help us, Lord, not out of a payment, but just out of honoring You, seek to live loyal, holy lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in whose name I do pray. Amen.